The Red Eye Radio podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Well, when will the FBI investigation be finished? I was looking at one of the predictions that Mitch McConnell, if he holds a vote by Sunday, that would be predicated on the fact that the FBI investigation will be done Wednesday. I'm like, really? Okay, I haven't heard that. Especially since the president has called for the expansion of the investigation. Not by time, though. Not by time, just the people involved. The time span is still the same. You know, every day I wake up saying, okay, what's the new thing going to be? What's the new thing going to be? And yesterday, Monday was, it was Ice Monday.
Yeah.
He threw ice! The allegation, he threw ice. There was a bar fight. Somebody got hurt. Police were called. He was he allegedly threw ice at somebody.
Mm-hmm. It's like, okay.
Yeah. It's just getting to be completely and totally
bizarre. It's just a reach.
Well, here's the thing. You and I, how many times, we've been working together now 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
Over 13 years now.
Right.
Oh, by the way, I forgot.
What?
29 years.
With good behavior?
The first week of October is 29 years of me being in talk radio.
Ah, okay.
29.
Okay. I thought you were predicting the sentence that Kavanaugh would get at the liberals taking the trial.
It just popped into my head when I was thinking that you and I have been working together for 13 years. It just went, oh, wait a minute. Beginning of October, 29 years. But you and I have been working together for 13. It was much better. I was a much better talk show host before I started working with you, but that's for another time to be.
Well, that's how you got here. You started to really suck badly, and they were like, just put him in with Eric. Just put him in with Eric. Like cellmates.
I don't know. The truth hurts.
Yeah.
So
we know anybody else that sucks that bad? Yeah, Eric. Put him in with Eric.
I guess I may have a point somewhere here.
Yeah, what? I don't know. I don't know what that would be. It
no, you and I. No, for 13 years, you and I have said, how far will they go? Where can they go from this? You know, because it was Bush with Hitler. You know, Bush was Hitler, and then Romney was Hitler,
right.
And then Trump came along, and it's just like you just wonder how far will they go? How far will they go? How far will they go? And it keeps going further and further and further and further and further and further and further. And we're just constantly amazed.
Yeah.
Where today's show is, are they at the brink?
Mm.
Can they go any further? How far can they go? And we had the call last call last hour. This is a lifelong position as a Supreme Court judge, a lifelong appointment. We need to go all the way back to the womb. He said it. So it's
we
like,
need to vet everything.
Okay. The second last caller, because the last caller last hour did make that point. I wonder how many 15-year-olds today have put something on social media that will keep them from being a Supreme Court justice someday.
Yeah, no, it's
that was a great line
because it is all now a matter of record and everything that you, it doesn't matter, by the way, if it was even a joke. Because today's jokes, as over the top and out of the way, politically correct, stepping on eggshells in nature, they may be, won't be acceptable 20 or 30 years from now.
Nope.
In fact, jokes will be outlawed. And I will be an outlaw. I'm living on the run. Did you hear that knock-knock joke? He started his campaign with a priest and a rabbi walk into a bar. We can't accept this. It won't matter. Posting a picture of the smiley face with "Have a great Monday, everyone," will be construed as "This man hates people." Yeah.
But you know the wonderful thing? For everything that has changed, I've got to say this, for everything that has changed, and since this has now been, 29 years this week of me and being talk radio, for everything that's changed in the media and all the political correctness and everything that exists out there, we get to do exactly what we've always done.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not all doomed.
Yeah, we are. How dare you?
No, think about it.
What?
I feel as free as I have ever felt in talk radio to state exactly what I feel.
Well, it's because corporate doesn't know where we are. Who are these people on the payroll? What do they do?
And the thing is, I'm thinking
to
myself.
Doug?
No, I was just thinking to myself, well, one of the reasons is because we don't really say anything that's radical.
Yeah.
We're for freedom and liberty. And then I thought to myself, oh, my God, we really are radical.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, they allow us to continue to talk?
Well,
but that's a good thing. That's a good thing that for all the PC going around and everything else and everybody stepping on eggshells,
mm-hmm.
I have never felt I've had to do that.
No. No, I don't know how to do that. With all due respect.
But that's wonderful.
I don't know how to do that.
But we couldn't do it without our great audience. So, we really couldn't do it without our listeners.
I mean, four of the best people on the planet.
Yes, frankly. Exactly.
But the goal is to be thoughtful in all my behavior. Now, that wasn't the case Saturday when I ate all the M&Ms that my wife bought. But that's not the point. No, great. Now I can't run for office. I just admitted stealing candy. By the way, I did. I took some M&Ms from my granddaughter the other day, just like stealing candy from a baby.
Do I have to admit that I did one and only one birthday shot over the weekend?
Of what did you drink? Well, I wouldn't quantify it because if someone finds out you did two, you're going down. Time magazine is making a note right now.
So, I did a quantity of alcohol measured.
Well, by my standards, it would be too much. Yeah.
I did one shot.
Yeah.
That was it. I'm not a big drinker.
My wife had
now in high school and college.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. My wife had a beer on Saturday evening, It was, because we were about to retire for the evening.
Right.
She had a beer as we were watching one of our favorite shows. We were getting caught up. And she says, "What do you have?" And I said, "Melatonin." True story. Yeah. So she goes, "I thought you were going to stay awake to watch the." I said, I'm trying.
But the thing is, it really was out with a bunch of friends. I said, come on, one. Because I don't ever do a shot. I'm like, okay, I'll do one.
Yeah. Tequila? What did you do?
Fireball.
Oh. And that's the cinnamon flavored alcohol, right?
Yeah. The only reason I think it's whiskey.
Yeah.
But the only reason I did it
was... I've had some.
But why did I pick it?
Yeah.
Because I like the taste of Fireball.
Because it tastes sweet. Yeah. Yeah. A buddy of mine had some at a reunion.
It's like, it tastes just like the old Fireball.
Yeah, and it was actually very tasty.
Yeah, but I don't throw it all... Somebody said, you're supposed to take the shot, and I'm sipping it. They go. I said, no, this is a Fireball. I want it to be around for...
Well, see,
I
want to... Because if it's something new, I need to taste it first, so I'm going to drink it slow anyway. Right? I don't want to just do a shot and then go, what was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny because I often think about it that if I was young again and you go into a liquor store today and you see the, you know, it's like, wow.
I was there last December.
No, but yeah. I wouldn't even be thinking about the alcohol. There's so many flavors of different things.
I was going to say.
Wow.
We had company coming in, and so I just went to get something, just one thing. But it was like, okay, should I call her and tell her there's all these choices? Mango flavored, lemon flavored, vanilla, caramel infused. What? I don't need this in my life. Too many choices. I'm with Bernie. Too many choices.
Right. Cut the choices of alcohol. Yeah. There's
too many choices of alcohol.
I go into the liquor store and look at all the alcohol.
Yes.
There's too many selections. Vodka,
right.
Plain.
I want the vodka or whatever it is, plain. Cinnamon.
And why did I pick vodka? Plain. Mm-hmm. Soviet Union, socialism.
Oh, Marxism. Yes. Yeah, no, there you go.
Right. Exactly.
And Bernie will control how much you get from the government.
You're right, though. I have to watch what I say because I could lose the job if I had more than one shot.
Yes. They'll call you out on it.
So somebody could just say, no, he had two. I had one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Somebody has the receipt
somewhere. It was the size of a tumbler, but who's counting?
No. But, yeah, so that's where we are now. I mean, we're to high school now. Seriously, we're to high school. Is the next thing junior high?
No, the next thing is junior daycare high. when they were 6 months old. Oh. You know, they threw ice on another child.
By the way, very quickly, I just want to throw this story in. I don't think the courts are going to knock this thing down, but I just want to bring it up real quick, and then we'll get back to your calls. Mm-hmm. A lot of people want to talk about Brett Kavanaugh, but Governor Jerry Brown on Sunday signed a bill into law that makes California the first state to require corporate boards of directors to include women.
Yeah.
Saying that despite potentially fatal legal problems in the measure, it's time to force action. Of course, it's unconstitutional. You cannot dictate to a corporation who they can put on the board and what the makeup has to be.
Right. What if it's a man who identifies as a woman and does so just by saying it? But this is the insanity of the left. That's
pure insanity.
Because this is to control. And what is next? A company must have so many women in certain positions, management, executive VP, whatever it might be, that there must be a certain ratio. Well, that's, again, there it is.
I really wonder, I mean, especially with California liberals, do you really think you're onto something?
Oh, they think they're heroes.
I mean, do you really think that you're here? I would love to ask that, you know, that sit down. Well, it can't happen.
Why? What?
Well, because I'd be just like the Georgetown professor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to sit down and talk with them. Well,
no,
that's never going to happen.
They don't want to talk.
It's like, I'd like to sit down and talk to that Georgetown professor.
Well, it's not only because it's no longer about not wanting to have the debate. It's about I'll be so loud and obnoxious that no one will want to have the debate with me.
Do they really think they're saving the world?
Yes, they do. Absolutely. They think they're saving the world. They think they're changing things because there's the difference. Well, so what if Governor Brown, what if it's a gay male that has to give up his seat on the board because the board is no longer made up and does not, the makeup of the board does no longer is compliant. What then? Because the point being is how many different groups and subgroups are you going to try politically to appease? This is the fault line of the Democratic Party, which keeps splitting them.
If that was to found legal, could the state then require that you have a transgender on your board?
You could require just about anything from any specific gender and or group. We said about Hollywood. You know, a few years ago, the Oscars are too white. Remember?
Yes.
Okay. And then they said, what we need is greater representation of the, you know, and Will Smith was one of the people complaining about it. This is a guy whose box office is over the top. You know, I mean, he went from Fresh Prince to box office king and still has a complaint. Seriously. There is no appeasing. You cannot satisfy that, because what would you have to do in that case? Well, now it's best Asian American actor.
Right.
Best African American actor.
Right.
Best African American actress.
Then,
well,
then,
the award show is going to go on for a few months.
Then different awards, then segregation of the awards. And then we're back to segregation in Hollywood. Look how progressive we've gotten.
Right, exactly.
We've moved forward. We've segregated everybody.
Yeah.
We're progressives.
Yes.
866-90-RED-EYE.
In addition to being required by law, pre- and post-trip inspections are vital to the safety of professional drivers. Conducting thorough pre-trip inspections allows you to catch any problems before heading out on the road. Post-trip inspections give the shop time to react to any problems that were identified. During your next pre- or post-trip inspection, check all safety equipment, including fire extinguishers, triangles, and spare fuses, to make sure they're in the proper location. In the event an emergency responder is trying to locate the fire extinguisher, it's crucial that it's in the proper place and easy to find. TA Truck Service understands the importance of these inspections. If you find any issues during your own pre- or post-trip inspection, stop by a location near you to have your vehicle looked at by one of our expert technicians.
This maintenance tip is a service of TA Truck Service Road Squad. If you break down, we show up. Call 800-924-SHOP.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Will the vote be for Kavanaugh this weekend? McConnell says, yes, it will be this week. Let's go to Joe in Warwick, New York. Joe, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hey, guys. You're both going to be fed to swine. It's the way it is, I guess. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I was going to say, you know, if you look at most liberals and crazy people out there that are throwing themselves down now, you know, they have double standards. If they didn't have double standards, they wouldn't have any at all. And, you know, have you heard about the Ban the Box in New York State?
No.
Ban the Box is a thing where they're saying, have you ever been arrested on a job application?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get that banned.
Okay. Yeah,
trying to get that banned.
Yes.
But at the same time, you know, they're going back to the womb now for Kavanaugh and other people like that. And, you know, it's a pure double standard. They want to have that for criminals, young criminals, typically in urban settings, to have that abolished. But now they're going back to his high school yearbook. So it's really, it's awful.
I mean, look, it's not unexpected, though.
No,
I mean I'm not surprised by it. I'm surprised by the length that they will go to, how ridiculous it is. Mm. I thought they would probably have more sophistication in their attack. I'm actually surprised at how they haven't covered their bases and what they're trying to actually defend, but I'm not surprised they're going down this road, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and now it's not about the accusations, it's about perjury. He lied under oath. That's the new narrative this week.
Right.
We knew there would be a new narrative. Actually, we saw it on the weekend, and we told you about it yesterday. This is nothing new either.
But
now, they have nothing to back that up on.
Now, can I ask one question, though?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to forget about this. Did Trump collude with the Russians to hack the election?
Oh, no, 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 no. I don't think anybody believes that. Not anyone.
Damn.
show for everyone, including those living in a delusional world. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carly. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Nobody cares about this, but we bring it up anyway just for your information.
Okay.
But the federal debt now at $21.5
trillion. Yep.
The federal debt has increased by $1.2 trillion over the last year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, you want to make this, I'll make it simple for you, okay? Because I did the figures in my head.
All right.
Something that you and I came up with, what was it, maybe 10 years ago? I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
When I was swimming in my pool.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of thinking things that normal people think, I was thinking to myself, how do I simplify the budget situation so everybody can understand it within 30 seconds?
Mm-hmm.
And then they can say, okay, they can relate to it. Because you say billions and trillions and it blah, 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 blah. The situation we're in right now, okay, is
right.
if, because the budget just ended, what, just September 30th, just Sunday
right.
last
mm-hmm.
year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and these are all rough estimates, but. If you took the federal budget and put it in basically somebody who last year made $36,000, okay?
Okay.
So this is the situation that we're in right now in this country. As a person that made $36,000 last year, you spent $40,400 is what you spent.
Right.
And you made $36,000. All
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You have outstanding debt of, let me see, make sure we get this right here, $215,000. This year, your salary's gone down to $34,000, and you're going to spend $44,000, and your current debt is $215,000 with bills that must be paid over the next 2 years of $1 to $2 million. All you do is take off 8 zeros. So everybody can, you now understand the situation that we're in. Last year you made $36,000. You spent a little bit over $40,000. This year you're only going to make $34,000. You're going to spend $44,000. And right now you have debt of $215,000 and bills that will come due over the next 10 years. At a salary that, as you can see, went down this year. And bills are going to have to be paid over the next 10 years of $1 to $2 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are as a nation right now, if you put it to an individual.
And nobody cares.
Nope.
Nobody cares.
Not even a topic of discussion.
No.
Not even a ripple.
No.
And we'll bring
and,
it up.
And Drudge put it up as the main, you know, headline, the main story for a while, but that was only because there was no award show going on in Hollywood. Drudge likes Hollywood.
Yes.
I'm not calling him a liberal, but he likes the movies and then.
Yes, that's sort of an inside joke with us. We always tease him. We always tease him on that. So
yes.
There's where we are right now as a nation. Fiscally, does anybody believe that that's a good situation to be in? Would anybody want to? I wouldn't want to be in that situation.
No.
Especially with the bills that have to come due over the next 10 years. When you're talking about the millions and you're making 30 what something thousand a year, yeah,
right. It's time to ration your ramen. But no, we don't want to do that. We don't want to control our spending.
I guess then that everything is settled and this just lost completely. This wasn't a part of the news whatsoever.
Right.
But the president had to agree with all the spending bills with no additional funding for anyone.
Yeah, I mean, we added $1.2 trillion to the debt. So that didn't happen. You know, that's, oh, wait a minute. No. If this is Obama's economy, it also has to be Obama's debt, right?
No. It's only Trump's debt.
Well, I can guess we can say we're all in it. We're all in this big party together now.
Well, I mean,
well, you think about it. If Republicans, because remember, it's the deficit this year that's going to skyrocket through the roof.
Yes,
to over $1 trillion mm-hmm. in 1 year.
Yep,
and we're not at war.
No.
It's not that, and it's the Republicans.
And we're not in a recession throwing right. $700 billion dollars at banks or any of that.
It's the Republican spending. I asked this question in all seriousness. If Democrats were able to take over both the Senate and the House,
mm-hmm.
what would their, number one, what would the president's budget be that he would hand them, and what would the Democrats want? If the Republicans, and I don't want to use a drunken sailor analogy because I think it's unfair to drunken sailors, but at least the drunken sailors were out of high school.
Well, how much did they drink?
Yeah, but and they were out of high school when they were drinking.
And did they throw any ice on anybody?
God, it all relates, doesn't it? But how much would Democrats spend? If Republicans are spending this much... And the fact is, I don't blame the Republican Party, and I don't blame the president. Why?
The American people don't care.
American people don't care.
If there's no political pressure, this will continue.
As I said, this is my 29th anniversary this week of doing talk radio. The first issue that we hit, which was back in 89, was the whole clean sweep that Congress was spending too much money. And it's time for a clean sweep. And I'll never forget the protests all over the country of people in front of congressional offices saying we need to cut back. I think the deficit at that time was $4 trillion or less.
Mm.
Maybe even three. I don't even remember what it was at that point.
Right.
But it was nothing. And people were upset about it. They were actually marching in the streets about the debt.
Yeah.
Like today someone's going to march.
Marching in the streets. What are you guys marching for? The debt. Whose debt? National debt. Oh. Okay.
The debt for every working American. By the way, every working American went into debt $8,100
yes.
last year from the federal
yes.
government.
Yes, every working American, if split up on every working American, that adds $8,100 on your behalf.
But remember, in the tax bill last year,
mm-hmm.
The only kind of people that are actually paying more for the debt, paying more in taxes, are people like Eric and myself, whose mm-hmm. taxes actually went up.
Yes. Because we're enormously wealthy.
Exactly. That's why. It's, as the one caller said a couple of years ago,
billionaires. Yes.
Which was a surprise to all of us.
Yes. Keep it up.
I'll tell you this. If I was a billionaire,
mm-hmm.
I'd get rid of my 15-year-old vehicle. That has 210,000 miles.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'd put that out with the trash.
that would be gone.
Well, my butler would. I wouldn't. Yeah.
But because of certain business deductions that we both share,
mm-hmm.
We can't take them anymore, and therefore yeah. our business did matter.
No, nobody cares about us.
But we're not upset.
Yeah, we are.
Actually, look, the tax plan, the tax thing was the right thing to do, as we've often stated before, irrespective of the unfairness towards us. The problem is still the spending.
And that's what it comes down to, because the fiscal policy, you know, you look at the monetary policy of this nation and wow, all over the place, especially in recent years, but like over the last 20 years, especially. But beyond that, the fiscal policy becomes something very different because this is it. Once you start creeping in, once you get the foot in the door, it is the government provides this, provides this, provides this. We'll start talking about making cuts. Start walking into the neighborhoods of America and start saying, well, in order to get our national debt in order, we're going to start cutting back on this program, this federal program in your child's school. Nope.
Nope.
Start taking things away. That's when people start getting motivated. That's when they start paying attention. Now, they still wouldn't be able to tell you, the majority of them, they still wouldn't be able to name the three branches of government, but they would tell you to get out and you are not welcome and that kind of policy is not welcome. There is, because this is what it comes down to for Obamacare spending and a number of issues that conservatives are watching and have been watching forever and are important because they've always been important. But this is it. And Obamacare is one of those, you know, on the way to getting to what? The single-payer system. But the idea that you're going to get something and somebody else is going to pay for it. Well, then the liberals, like that one couple in California, well, we liked Obamacare. We voted for Obama. We didn't know we were going to have to pay for it.
That's why, even though you have, when you had Jake Tapper of CNN and even Chris Cuomo questioning Ocasio-Cortez and
yeah,
the
and Gillum in Florida
and Gillum about, you know, the Medicare for all, because
right,
they understand, look, what we're spending right now.
How do you pay for it?
We're already going to be $1 trillion in debt. How do you pay? You can't pay for all
you
of it and
pay
for what we're paying for today. It's impossible. So the only thing you could do is put massive debt on the American people. The other thing that isn't being talked about either is the, because interest rates are going up,
mm-hmm,
how much of a bigger bite that's taking in, how much in interest payments the American taxpayer, it's growing exponentially,
yes,
every single year now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that over the last year. But until it actually starts affecting people, and that may be, you know, too late. It could be 10 years from now, 20 years from now, mm-hmm, 30 years from now, odds are you and I will both be dead when it happens. But as we've said, it's immoral, and nobody wants to hear it, but it's absolutely immoral and unethical to be putting what we want today on the backs of future generations. We have, as we have stated before, we found the loophole of taxation without representation.
Mm-hmm.
We found the loophole. You tax the future. They didn't vote for it. They had no representation. They had no say in it. They're completely innocent in all of this. And we have found the most moral way, and we just hide our heads in the sand. Let's put it on them. And because I said that, I expect to get the emails today, which I always get whenever I said that. Oh, you're exaggerating it. The debt really isn't bad. It's all in control, and debt is all part of it. Blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that soothes your guilty conscience by writing those emails.
Well, because it effectively, when it gets to the point that you can't even service the interest on the debt as a nation, the massive hit to the economy, when our global trade partners can no longer trust the U.S., it will be catastrophic in nature. Mm-hmm. To say, well, we can just write it off on paper and start over. Nope. No, you can't. Because no one is going to trust doing business with you any longer. And when that happens, then our great-grandchildren and their children and great-grandchildren will not experience what the expansion of wealth and the freedom and liberty it brings to their families. They won't experience that. Because the only play there is going to have the government, the federal government, taking over more industry. Nationalizing industry.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. You know, you and I just talked about during the break about last week the story that the American Bar Association had sent a letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee and stating that they should delay the nomination vote for Kavanaugh because of the FBI investigation. Further information on that?
So this came across. This actually was from a letter that was sent to from the ABA on Friday, because the first letter came from the president of the ABA, the American Bar Association, late Thursday, all right? That first letter basically saying that the American Bar Association believes they should delay the confirmation process, right? Well, here is a letter sent on the 28th, which was the next day, which was Friday, from the American Bar Association. It was addressed to Chairman Grassley and Dianne Feinstein. Dear Chairman Grassley and Ranking Member Feinstein, the correspondence by Robert Carlson, President of the American Bar Association, of September 27th, 2018, was not received by the American Bar Association's Standing Committee on the Federal Judiciary prior to its issuance. The Standing Committee on the Federal Judiciary acts independently of ABA leadership. The committee conducts nonpartisan, non-ideological, and confidential peer review of federal judicial nominees. The ABA's rating for Judge Kavanaugh is not affected by Mr. Carlson's letter. That came from Paul T. Moxley. He's chairman of the American Bar Association. So where did you see that story? I found it in National Review, and which was posted National Review on Monday.
I couldn't find it in Google.
I didn't see it anywhere over the weekend, but it came across on Friday morning, that letter did. Senate Judiciary Committee on their Twitter page has the letter posted.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Well, since there's been all this drinking talk and going back all the way to high school or whatever, there was a press conference yesterday that was held, and personal history of drinking was brought up.
I'm not a drinker. I can honestly say I never had a beer in my life, okay?
Right.
It's one of my only good traits. I don't drink. Whenever they're looking for something good, I say, I never had a glass of alcohol. I've never had alcohol. I've just, you know, for whatever reason. Can you imagine if I had? What a mess I'd be. I'd be the world's worst.
Now, is the New York Times going to fact check? Are they going to go back to his high school and his junior high school to find out if he has ever had a sip of drink, a sip of any type of drink? Will they go back to family parties, Christmas toasts, anything to see if there is a glass in front of the president?
Well, I've been told that if you're a billionaire, and I am one, according to one caller, that your faucets, it's all champagne. It's not water. Your faucets in your home, which are made of gold, pure gold. It's all champagne, no water. That you literally shower in champagne every morning. So I'm sure that will be next. How could he be a billionaire, be at all these functions and celebrations, and never have sipped champagne?
Well, I'm really looking forward to today. It's funny, because after the show, in about an hour, I'll go home. It takes me about 25 minutes to get home. I'll get home. I'll be asleep probably around 6. And when I wake up, every time, and I sleep twice a day, just for people to know that. So when I wake up, every morning I wake up, and I actually have to keep the phone just a little bit away from me, because if I sort of groggily wake up an hour into my sleep, I want to grab it, so I leave it over on the other end of the table, so it's tougher. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm too lazy. Okay, I'll go back to sleep. But when I finally wake up, I grab the phone. It's like, what's the accusation going to be today? Because yesterday I woke up and it was ice.
Right. Well, I think we should abolish ice.
Did he throw
in bars?
See?
It's a weapon.
See the damage that ice can cause? We need to get rid of ice now.
That's right. Nobody needs cold drinks.
Oh, I was speaking about the Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Mm-hmm. But I said, you got to be kidding me. And it's just gotten to the point of just, you know, where will they go next? Because everything, the ice thing won't be talked about today. That's gone.
Yep.
So there's got to be something new today. Every day there's got to be something new. And then it's digested for a little bit and then expelled.
Yeah. Well, and because someone wrote on Twitter, must be very tiring for the left, you know, hauling the goalpost around all day, every day. Because that's what it's become. There's a new objection every single day to Kavanaugh. Well, by Saturday or Sunday of this week, according to the Senate Majority Leader, that could all be over. And it will be over. I mean, you will have protesters out there, and the media will cover it because it's a leftover story and nothing else is happening, but they will move on.
You know, one of the things we discuss is, what does the American people think, besides who do you believe? You know, you've got to get more specific. On this topic and many others, we've always said the focus and the questions that are asked sometimes are the wrong questions to be asked. And the Daily Wire looked at all the different polling out there, and they brought the Harvard-Harris survey, which found that when people are told that the three named witnesses do not corroborate the accusations of Dr. Ford, opinion shifts decisively in Kavanaugh's favor. And they go through the other polls that were asking, do you believe Kavanaugh, or do you believe? And never asking the specific question, you know, based on the evidence that exists. Let's lay out the entire case in front of the American people and then see how they think. Don't ask one specific question, because the question is not whether you agree, whether you believe that Ford is credible. There's no way I know whether she's credible or not. Well, did she seem credible? I don't know what seeming credible means. All I can look at is say, okay, what does she have to say, and does it match up with the evidence? What does she have to say, and does it match up with what she said yesterday? What did she say? Oh, she has witnesses. What do those witnesses say? Oh, they say the opposite of what she said. Okay, it's not just what she said. It's everything and all the evidence surrounding it that makes you credible or not credible. Mm-hmm. And so when you have a particular amount of evidence out there, if you come across as credible because the evidence backs you up, yeah, you can add to the credibility of it as a person, but you yourself, just speaking alone with nothing else around you, and when your statements contradict your previous statements, and when your witnesses that you have stated, even friends, say, don't know what you're talking about, you lose credibility. So what they did was they went out the Harvard-Harris survey and asked people, what do you think once they tell them that the three named witnesses that she picked, that she said were there, said, don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen that way. When you do that, it changes. 57% of people, where is it here? Fifty-seven percent of people believe Kavanaugh.
Okay.
They don't believe the allegations then, whence, you know, want that. And if the FBI finds nothing, 60% believe he should be confirmed. The point we want to bring up is whenever we have a debate, people will call us and say, well, you guys, you're never going to convince everybody. That's not the point. The point's never to convince everybody. In the political process in this country, where you roughly have 40% Republican, 40% Democrat, it's the 20% in between. And when you get up to 60%, you've convinced the majority of independents, and that's how you win elections. You make the case. You stick to common sense. You stick to critical thinking. And you'll still be able to get the majority of Americans to agree with you, except for the national debt.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. They found the people that when people are told that the three named witnesses do not corroborate the accusations of Dr. Ford, opinion shifts decisively in Kavanaugh's favor. As the Daily Wire reported on Monday, polls by YouGov and Reuters found that people largely believe what benefits their affiliated party. More than two-thirds of Democrats believe the sexual allegations against Kavanaugh, while roughly the same percentage of Republicans do not. Overall, YouGov found that 41% believe Ford, 35% believe Kavanaugh. Reuters found 42% believe Ford, and 31% believe Kavanaugh. Harris poll chair Mark Penn, a former Bill Clinton pollster, reported Sunday that the Harris poll study found that 40% who saw or read parts of the testimony last Thursday felt that Ford alone seemed credible, while 23% said Kavanaugh alone seemed credible. That means just themselves without anything else, no evidence around it.
Right.
A total of 27% said they both seemed believable. Thus, 67% of the total felt that Ford was credible. 50% felt Kavanaugh was credible. So there you go, 67 to 50. Where the Harris poll study really gets interesting in its findings on the impact of the FBI investigation and on the issue of corroboration, the credibility of the testimony does not appear to be a decisive factor, writes Penn. Rather, the question comes down to corroboration as the standard for tipping public opinion on whether Kavanaugh should ascend to the highest court. When the respondents were told that the three named witnesses did not corroborate Ford's claim, 57% said they are in favor of his confirmation. If the FBI finds no corroboration of Ford's claims, 60% say Kavanaugh should be confirmed, Penn reports. So there you go. As we've said all the time, it gets down to the evidence. We've stated that from the very, very beginning. And that's why what the Democrats are selling, independents aren't buying. Anybody who has an ounce of critical thinking understands the presumption of innocence, even in a setting like this. The Democrats tried for a short time to use the phrase, well, this isn't a court of law, it's a job interview.
Yeah.
Americans understand the fairness, and number one, most job interviews do not have an FBI investigation, by the way. Only certain jobs. This is an appointment to a branch of government, and it is one political party, not just your employer. It is a political party trying to defame the character of that long-term federal judge who has been nominated to this particular job. Americans understand it. They tried to use it for a short time, and it really didn't work because Americans understand it. Unless you are a partisan, you look at this and you say, sorry, not enough here. And that's why, you know, the Harvard poll, the Harris poll that Mark Penn took, to me, indicates what America really thinks. And it shows that the Democrats aren't convincing anybody other than themselves.
Well, and that's it. But when this is the I guess, downside for them of the media carrying their stories and their narrative, is that it makes a lot of people feel like, well, I don't know, she's going to win the election. It makes a lot of people feel like it's going to go this way, or that the reality is this when it's often not. Because the willful ignorance drives all of this. People that are very, in fact, clear about staying away from the actual details of a story will also make a decision. And in a situation like this, we have to be reminded that that's how political pressure is built. Well, if you start asking questions and pointing out the details, and they only have to really be informed of just a really short list of those details, the opinions start to change to the point that there is no political pressure against the Republicans in the vote for Kavanaugh.
I think I can safely say this. I believe that out of all the determining factors of how people make their opinions, and there may be 10 different factors, I think the leading one, the leading factor of people making, you know, that making their opinions is ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Yeah.
Because we deal with it every day on the air. I've been doing this now, as I've said a few times, because it was, you know, I don't know what day exactly it is this week, but it's the first week of October, 29 years in talk radio.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one thing, we don't debate anymore. We don't debate issues.
No.
We debate with people that don't have the facts behind them. That's all we do. I mean, that's 99% of what we do.
Yeah.
When we confront somebody of the opposite opinion, I mean, we do spend a lot of time, you know, ourselves doing it. But when we confront somebody who has a different opinion with us, the vast majority of the time is spent telling them, no, you don't even know what's going on here.
Right, right.
You don't know the truth. You're ignorant of how this works.
Yeah.
Ignorance, to me, especially from the left. It does exist on the right. But I think in most cases, it exists on the left. And it exists in the Kavanaugh thing big time. And as you and I have said, it exists. We had brought this up a few times, the whole Colin Kaepernick thing.
Mm-hmm.
Every single person who I've talked to said, I can understand why, you know, you would not watch the NFL. I mean, Kaepernick's just his free speech. It's not a free speech. Explain it to them. They go, oh, didn't know that. And did you know Kaepernick wore the pig socks? It wasn't about individuals, you know, that individual cases and solving them. He was indicting all cops. Oh, didn't know that. And you know that last year the catalyst was Michael Bennett, who accused the Las Vegas police of lying. Oh, I didn't know that. And it's amazing. It's like, well, then you don't really know anything about this entire case. You've just heard bits and pieces, and you formed your opinion on it. I can't tell you how many people I meet that are like that. And to me, it's the majority of people that I meet.
And again,
that disagree with our opinions.
Right. And it's one thing to issue an opinion on social media, you know, and you've done so with not knowing the facts. It's something very different when it starts, again, affecting the polls in a political race. We're going to start seeing the polls that include Thursday and beyond, last Thursday, the day of the hearings. We're going to start seeing those polls roll out this week. Will the Democrats in this situation, if they start seeing those polls working against them, especially in those tight races, they start seeing the very real risk of losing another few seats in the Senate and say to themselves, we can't do this. We're going to quietly let this thing go away and move on so that we can prevent a third seat being filled by Trump. I think that's a real possibility.
866-90-RED-EYE.
The three-way U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement will govern over $1 trillion in trade, making it
the biggest trade deal in the United States history.
President Trump at the White House Monday telling reporters the USMCA will be a win for all three countries. Chief negotiator Robert Lighthizer said getting it done will do more than just boost trade.
The new agreement will also serve as a template for our trade agreements in the future.
The template would include fairness, a level playing field for farmers, fair labor standards, strong provisions
on digital trade, intellectual property, services, including financial services, including strong new disciplines on currency manipulation.
Unlike NAFTA, this agreement has a termination date of 16 years after passage and a mandatory joint review within the first 6 years,
which will ensure that the USMCA, unlike NAFTA, will not become unbalanced and out of date.
He said the U.S. will want these kinds of provisions as the main pillars of any future trade agreements. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
The USDA report is sponsored by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel and Shell Rotella.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. Coming up following the bottom of the hour, we'll get back to your calls and comments. And by the way, also in the news, and this really happened during the show, we know a lot of people are waking up, but we actually did get a call from an anti-Kavanaugh, anti-Trump person who said, and we're not making this up, we really got the call, who said that the Supreme Court is a lifetime appointment, and if we have to, we should go all the way back to the womb to ensure that the nominee is qualified.
Yeah.
I figured they would start at junior high school and then maybe elementary school and then kindergarten and preschool. Went right to the womb.
Well, you know, that's the thing, you know, because the mom-to-be, you know, gets the imaging done and then they'll have to, of course, subpoena those records, right? Look what the child was doing here. What did that mean? That movement right there.
Uh-huh. The FBI talking to the mother. Now, when did he kick you?
Uh-huh. For Omnitrax, here's your forecast.
Continued rains from what was Hurricane Rosa will affect Southern California, portions of southwestern Arizona, and the central Rockies through at least tomorrow. As much as 3 to 6 inches, isolated amounts of 10 inches of rain for areas right up through the central Rockies. You can expect some heavy rain again today along areas of I-10 in Arizona, sections of I-40 south of the Grand Canyon, and I-15 as you head from California through Vegas into Utah. The severe weather and heavy showers yesterday in the upper Midwest is moving off to the east. We saw those heavy showers in Iowa, portions of Wisconsin, northern Illinois, and Michigan. Today, that system slowly moves to the north and east. We'll see rain for I-81 all the way over to I-75, and then on I-80 east and west, we'll see those showers rather heavy today. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Outrage. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And he is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. Thanks for being here. I was going to go somewhere. I'm asking you to figure out what I'm doing over here.
I don't know.
Oh, I know what I want to do. Just a quick update, just so in case people don't know, the situation of the federal debt. Nobody really cares about it anymore, not Republicans, not Democrats. Maybe some conservatives and libertarians still do, but they're just a small minority now, even of the Republican Party. But just so you know, if you wish to hear it very simply, as we have done before, as we have taken the federal budget and put it in somebody who roughly makes... Let's do it this way. That the federal budget is somebody who's making $36,000 a year.
Yeah.
This year, you know, up until Sunday was making $36,000 a year.
Okay.
Well, last year they were spending $40,400
on what?
Whatever. I don't know what.
That's a lot of. I don't know.
Healthcare. So they were spending $40,400.
All right.
All right. This year, they got a cut in pay, only making $34,000, but going to spend $44,000.
Okay.
They have a debt of $215,000, and they have bills coming due in the next 10 years that must be paid of $1 to $2 million.
Oh, my gosh.
That's the situation of our federal government right now. All you do is add 8 zeros onto all of that.
Land of the free, home of the... I don't care.
Well, as you know, just figured I'd...
Yeah.
You know,
it's 21.5 trillion. That's not a lot.
So there you go. Let's get back to Kavanaugh, because we don't spend much time on the debt anymore.
Nobody cares.
It's not a big deal. It's
crickets. Nobody cares.
So we move on. Let us go to Robert in Mobile, Alabama. Robert, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Thank you, sirs. I really enjoy your old show, and
thanks.
You bring a lot of information to the people.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I called on a pet peeve, but you're talking about the debt, so I'll mention that after I bring my phone.
No, you don't have to because you feel obligated. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
You and talk show hosts like Hannity and people have the privilege of being able to access information that the general public doesn't. And most general public are working and raising kids, which I did at one time and didn't have time except for maybe the radio and TV. Now I'm retired. I have plenty of time to do research, just like you're saying, that most people are uninformed. Well, with that debt situation, if the government would do away with that private bank called the Federal Reserve and start printing their own money, they wouldn't owe anybody for the fact that they
Federal Reserve has nothing money. To do with it. Federal Reserve has nothing to do with it. Nothing.
Well, they pay them interest every time they give money over
to the
government.
It's the fiscal policy of this nation. That's how you build that.
Right.
Yeah. But
by the way, Robert, we understand. We understand that the people work out there, and that's why we're here. And we get to do it. I'll tell you this, though. We don't have the privilege of getting most information. Most of the information that we get, 99% of information, any citizen can find on the Internet. It's not like it used to be where you might have to do extra research. It's all there. And the ignorance, when we talk about ignorance of the issues, that's one thing. And that's why people, you know, it's forming opinions, not knowing what the facts are. Or just because you have a particular narrative, this is what I find more than anything, where I know that when I was in my 20s, I didn't say much or give much opinions because I wasn't sure what all the details were, so I hesitated to do it. It is the
well, no one ever is.
It is the confidence. Well, no, there's a confidence today that exists of promoting your opinion and being vehement and passionate about it. And after about 10 seconds, you go, you really don't know the issue at all here, do you? Now, I'm not talking about you, Robert. I'm talking about other people that exist out there. Mainly on the left, I see it. But the ignorance is even greater than just the news.
True.
When I was a bill collector in college, I understood what the three branches of government were. I went to 12 years. I went to 12 years of school. Everybody went to 12 years of school. The vast majority of the population went to 12 years of school. The majority,
I went to 8th grade, and I knew what the three branches of government were.
75% of the people in the United States do not. They can't name one. They can't name, what is it, all branches of the federal government.
Right.
If you can't name all, there's three of them, we all know. But if you can't name all three of them, then you don't understand the separation of powers. The majority of people, 75% of people, could not name the freedoms in the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. The majority couldn't name, more than one freedom, which was, the majority couldn't name one freedom, which is freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. They couldn't even name that. That's more. We understand how people may not know it in a story. When that, we understand that's why we exist, and we understand that a lot of people call us and say we learn stuff about it, and so therefore we can go out and we can form our opinions, and that's the way that you should do it. But it goes more than just the news stories. It's that after 12 years of...
I listen to multiple sources so I can form my own opinion.
Absolutely. That's what we always say. Don't believe us. Go do your own research.
Yep.
And as far as the computer goes, well, I'm 60 years old, and I've done killed three of them, so I'm not really that good with the Internet.
Well, keep trying.
I'm waiting on saving up for my new computer now because it just died.
But is that the Internet's?
Ago.
Is that the Internet's fault, or is that your fault?
I believe one of those things is a fix-it stick, and I bought $60 for a fix-it stick, and It wiped my computer drive clean, and I took it to a professional repair person, and they said they couldn't fix it, that it costs more than to buy another computer.
Wow.
So I'm not going to buy another laptop. I'm going to go with a standalone computer because they're cheaper than laptops.
Yeah. Robert, thank you so much for your call. But just, you know, when I used to work 6 days a week, working 12 hours a day at the steel mill, I remember because a lot of what my work was third shift. I remember listening to Larry King on the radio. Wasn't listening to music. I was listening to Larry King. Mm-hmm. There really wasn't much other talk radio at that time. But, you know, guests or whatever thing else, and, you know, paying attention to the news, reading books, reading the newspaper. I wanted to know what was going on. But it isn't the fact, just to let you know, Robert, we understand that people are busy. I know some of my really good friends, part of the reason I'm good friends with them is they never listen to me. They really don't know. They are so busy in their career where they really don't know the minutiae of what's going on, like a lot of our audience does, because you're really into it and you're passionate about it. For many of you, it's a hobby, which is, I think, it's a great hobby to have. But the fact is, they're not out there promoting an opinion. That's, to me, the problem. the confidence or the arrogance, or you have a particular narrative in your head of what's right, so you pick up bits and pieces and you proclaim that you have absolute authority on a particular topic, when after 5 seconds, anybody in the know will tell you, you don't know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's, it's the error. It's not having the lack of knowledge on a particular area. There's too many things for people to know. There's things on topics that I have no clue of, and I'm not going to try to BS my way through it. I'm not going to go into the mechanic today. At one time, I was able to tear apart an engine and put it back together again. I couldn't even attempt that today. And if I went in and started pointing out tubes and started saying, well, this does that and that does this and this does that, a modern-day mechanic would look at me and say, you're full of it. You have no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem that I see. People that are so confident, or maybe it's arrogant, to believe that they know exactly what's going on, and after 5 seconds, anybody that with any critical thinking skills will say, I don't have a clue.
Well,
where does that come from?
It's the citizen is greatly empowered by acting on information, real information. But there's great risk to this country by people acting on lack of information. That's the difference. Being ignorant for whatever reason, whether you just choose not to follow the news or you're too busy or whatever it is one thing. Acting regardless of how ignorant you are on the topic is the difference in today's world. It's not just issuing an opinion anymore on social media. Remember, we saw it last Friday. It's why we're still talking about Kavanaugh. It is the get-in-your-face, or as they call it, direct approach. And the media is helping them. The media is, NBC and all of them, are helping spread the lies just by giving them a forum.
Yeah, there's two problems. There are people that are ignorant and willfully ignorant and wanting to form opinions based on their ignorance, and then there's those in the media that understand their ignorance.
Yes.
And understand if we lie to them, and as we've said before, and we talked about this last week, lying by omission, where newspaper articles will say, we didn't lie, there's not an untruth in here. Yeah, but you left this out and you left that out,
right,
which gives a completely different slant to the story and leads people in a different direction from the truth. That is a lie. That's lying by omission.
Right.
And they understand. As we said, Jonathan Gruber said it. We can lie to these people.
Oh, sure.
We can lie to the stupid American public.
Well, remember, BuzzFeed put a disclaimer on that story. They knew they couldn't verify. We have no way to verify any of this. We're going with it anyway. That's essentially what NBC did yesterday with the third accuser, as she's being called. They gave her an interview when they admitted, as a news organization, they could not corroborate any of that.
And as her own story was falling apart.
Yes. And she backed out of her own story. And then NBC Nightly News decides not to run an actual official part of the proceeding. And that is the woman who was brought in, the prosecutor that was brought in to do the questioning, issued a memo. NBC ignores what's real and puts on display in front of all of America, or the few people still watching, something that they themselves say, we're not able to corroborate any of this. The New York Times interviewed dozens of individual people and could not find anyone with firsthand knowledge of her claim, and she's now walking back her own claim. Well, that doesn't matter.
We don't have time to go to a call, but Mike in Indiana wanted to say that Feinstein, hypocrisy, she wants a presumption of innocence in the letter leak. Oh, my, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Because there's more evidence there. There's more circumstantial evidence and a presumption of, wait a minute, somebody, one of the Democrats most likely leaked it. No, I want the presumption of innocence.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great point, Mike.
Yep.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This engine report is brought to you by Detroit. The DD15 is designed to provide its peak power and torque between 1,000 and 1,500 RPMs. This fuel economy sweet spot means there isn't much more power available at 1,800 RPM than at 1,400. The only thing being accomplished is burning more fuel without any real benefit. While cruising, try to keep the engine between 1,050 and 1,450 RPMs for maximum efficiency. Also, upshift around 1,650 RPMs or sooner to stay in the sweet spot. Speed is the enemy of fuel economy. On average, every 1 mile per hour increase in road speed above 55 costs 0.1 mpg, which adds up by the mile. Cruising in the high 50 to low 60 mph range can help you get the most out of every gallon of fuel. Ultimately, traffic on surface roads and stoplights will impact travel time far more than a few mph on the highway.
Rochelle Rotella, that's the engine report.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley. I'm Gary McNamara. Uh-oh, now this headline, this headline could doom Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
Kavanaugh questioned by cops, you know, the whole ICE thing?
Right.
In 1985 over the bar fight where ICE was thrown after a UB40 concert. He went UB40. To UB40.
So Trump didn't even check that out?
No.
As to what bands
no.
he was into?
And I think Kaja Gugu and Flock of Seagulls opened up.
It just keeps getting worse.
I don't know whether Boy George was anywhere in the vicinity at all, but this is disqualifying material.
I think so.
He's out. No defense here on Red Eye Radio anymore.
None. If he made that decision, imagine the decision. I mean, he had to go buy a ticket.
I just realized, no, he nominated somebody who grew up in the 80s.
Yeah, exactly.
No!
Oh, no. The choice in music, that's enough.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.